God, because he will be taken from the womb of Devaki to that of Rohini. Tam him, Rohini Nandana, the son of Rohini. Vai, indeed. Prabhu, people will call. Sankarshanam, by the name Sankarshana. Movie in the world. Ramayiti, it will also be called Rama. Loka Ramanat, because of his special mercy in enabling people in general to become devotees. Balabhadram, he will also be called Balabhadra. Bala Utrayat, because of extensive bodily strength. Translation: the son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarsana because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. So you can repeat. The son of Rohini will also be celebrated as Sankarsana because of being sent from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. He will be called Rama because of his ability to please all the inhabitants of Gokula. And he will be known as Balabhadra because of his extensive physical strength. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. These are some of the reasons why Balaram is known as Sankarsana. Balaram, or sometimes Ram. In the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. People sometimes object when Ram is accepted as Balaram. But although devotees of Lord Ram may object, they should know that there is no difference between Balaram and Lord Ram. Here, Srimad Bhagavatam clearly states that Balaram is also known as Rama, Ramiti. Therefore, it is not artificial for us to speak of Lord Balaram as Lord Rama. Jayadeva Goswami also speaks of three Ramas: Parashurama, Raghupati Rama, and Balarama. All of them are Ramas. So, Garva Sankarshanatam Vahi Prahu Sankarshanam Bhuvi Rameti Loka Ramanat Balabhadram Balotrayat. So, Om Ganat Tipanandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Om Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, in this particular context, it's important to take note of the Brahma Sanghita verse, Advaita Chuta Nadi Vrananta Rupamadhyam Puranam Purasham Naviyovanam Cha Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Admabhadu Govinda Madi Purasham Tamaham Vishame. So this is a verse oftentimes quoted by His Divine Grace, the Prabhupada. So the first word in this verse, Advaita. So Advaita means like two, like duality. And Advaita means non-difference, is the same. So Advaita and Advaita, just like we have our philosophy. There's Advaitavad and Advaitavad. Advaitavad, of course, is the impersonal philosophy where everything is one. And Advaitavad is where everything is in this state of duality. Of course, the material world is Dvaita. Dvaita means basically duality, happiness, distress, heat and cold, pleasure and pain, etc., etc. Advaita can also mean someone who is two-faced, a liar. It's interesting. It's interesting. Sachimata, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, she referred to Advaitacharya as being two-faced, a liar or cheater. And it was because of the context of her blaming Advaitacharya for her son taking sannyas, her older son, of course, not Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking sannyas. And she blamed Advaitacharya's association, blamed Advaitacharya for convincing him about the uselessness of this material world. And therefore she said, he's not Advaita, he is Dvaita. And of course that was considered an offense by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, because my mother has offended Advaitacharya in that way, then she can't get love of God. So this actually indicates how serious it is to offend a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God. And of course, Advaitacharya was not only a devotee, but he was an expansion of the Supreme Personality of God. Being Vishnu Tattva, he's not Jiva Tattva. But in any case, ultimately, Sachimata had to bow down at the feet of Advaitacharya. Advaitacharya didn't like that very much, and Advaitacharya also tried to take the dust of the feet of Sachimata. So, but still, even though she was the mother of God, because she had committed offenses, it was considered that she was not worthy to get pure devotional service by Lord Chaitanya. But this was a pastime. So anyway, so that's the meaning of the word Advaita. And in this particular context, Advaita means that of all the incarnations of God, and here we're talking about the incarnations of God that are Vishnu Tattva. There are many incarnations that are Shaktavesh. And the Shaktavesh avatars, in one sense, are non-different than the Vishnu Tattva expansion. In one sense, but in another sense, they're different. That's important to understand. Of course, that's very much in line with our Achincha Beda Beda Tattva philosophy. Just like Parashurama is mentioned here, Prabhupada quotes here, Jayadev Goswami also speaks of three Ramas. Parashurama, Raghupati Rama, and Balaram. Prabhupada says elsewhere that Parashurama is Shaktavesh avatar. He's not Vishnu Tattva. And Prithubharaj also Shaktavesh avatar. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Shaktavesh avatar. Sometimes we even quote this verse, of course, every morning. We quote this verse, Shakshada Vithvena Samasta Shastra, that the pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered Sakshadhari, that practically non-different in terms of offering respect to Hari. But still, there is some difference. But in the case of Balaram, that's good, you can turn that off. But in the case of Balaram, he is actually 100% the same as Krishna, Advaita. And there's absolutely no difference. He is Krishna, and Ram is Krishna, and all the Vishnu Tattva expansions of the Lord, they are the same person. And Srila Prabhupada explains it very nicely, saying that it's just like a man who is going to the office, and in the office he displays a certain type of personality, and at home he displays another type of personality, and in both cases he's the same person, just a different aspect of his nature is being manifest in different circumstances. So the same thing with the Lord. It's not that we are polytheists, that we believe in many gods. We actually believe that there's one God, and he manifests himself differently in different circumstances. And of course, even in the Bible, you have God manifesting himself in different ways. You know, sometimes as a burning bush, and in other ways, of course, generally you don't see the personal aspect of the Supreme Personality of God in the Bible. So anyway, so therefore, Balaram is the same as Krishna, and all the Chaturvyuha expansions, of course, Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. Chaturvyuha means Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. Oh. Any ball? What a blessing to see you. So all the Chaturvyuha expansions, they are the same person. And that's the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he can do many different activities, unlimited activities, simultaneously in different circumstances. And of course, Krishna, when he was in Dwarka, was able to have 16,108 wives simultaneously, and he was doing 16,108 different things in each one of his 16,108 houses. And so that's God. He can be the ultimate multitasker, whereas we are limited in our multitasking ability. Actually, not really, we can't even multitask. What we're doing when we try to do two things at the same time, of course we're in the same place when we're doing two things at the same time, we're actually time slicing. In other words, you're doing something and then stopping that for a microsecond or a millisecond or whatever it is, and then doing something else and changing back and forth. But Krishna can do everything at the same time. Now, the pure devotee could get somewhat of that opulence when he becomes Krishna conscious. You find examples given in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatana Goswami that Narada Muni is able to be in several different realms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead simultaneously. You have this devotee Gopakumar, who later on becomes known as Sarupa, and he is going to all these different locations, realms of God, and also realms of the material world, and he's encountering Narada Muni, and he's saying to Narada Muni, you know, hey, Narada Muni, you know, why I just saw you there, why are you here? And Narada Muni explains that the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can not do exactly as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they can be present in many places simultaneously. Of course, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be present in every place simultaneously. Dantarastam Paramanu Chayantarastam. He's situated in everyone's heart. Ishwara Sarvabhutanam Radesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Sarvabhutani Yantra Rudani Maya and every atom. And he's directing the wanderings of the living entities. He's giving everybody remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. All that simultaneously. So that's a little bit different. The jiva soul cannot have that same opulence, but he can have a certain amount of limited opulence in terms of expanding himself in different circumstances. So we should understand that Balaram is not different from Krishna, just Krishna in a different mood. And the same thing with all the Vishnu Tava expansions. And here we find reference to Ram's pastimes. And of course that means Ram and Lakshman and Bart and Shatrughna. Another interesting thing about the expansions of the Lord that are all non-different from the Lord, of course, Advaita, Chuta, they're all infallible. And let me continue a little bit with the Brahma Samhita verse first. Advaita Chuta, Anadir, Ananta Rupam, they have no beginning, and they also, Anadir, means that there's no beginning. There's, in other words, they're eternal. They're eternal, like the soul is eternal. And then Ananta Rupam, there's unlimited expansions of the Lord. Prabhupada says elsewhere that there's, Bhagavatam says actually, that there is as many expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as there are waves in the ocean. In other words, they come one after the other. I mean, we're reading about a few expansions of the Lord in the Bhagavatam. Jayadev Goswami talks about the Dasha avatars, which are 10 main avatars. But Krishna's not limited to just 10 main avatars. It's unlimited avatars. Ananta Rupa. Of course, the word rupa means form. So, Anyway, so, but all those different avatars, expansions, incarnations. Incarnation means those who appear in the material world, and their expansions, Ansa, Kalansa, like that, in the spiritual world. So all of those are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is interesting. I mean, they're non-different than Krishna, but they're also all manifesting the activities and the consciousness of serving Krishna in his original form, which is quite interesting. For example, in the case of Lord Ram, you have Lakshman, of course, Bharat and Shatrughna too. I mean, talk about them in a second. But you have Lakshman, who served Ram in such a menial fashion throughout the whole time that they were exiled from Ayodhya. I mean, he was building the houses, he was getting the fruit, and it's described that Ram didn't even tell Lakshman the whole time to eat. And Lakshman, being such an obedient servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lakshman is the Supreme Personality of God, which is quite interesting. He's an obedient servant of the Lord and is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he didn't eat the whole time he was in the forest. Amazing. I mean, any of us, you know, after about 3 hours, if we were brahmacharis who were not supposed to eat unless the guru tells them to eat, if we were actually brahmacharis, we would have just given a lot of hints to the spiritual master, like pointed to our mouth or something like that, and said, you know, or had our stomach, like, talk in front of the spiritual master. I'm hungry. So anyways, but still, Lakshman, he didn't even complain the whole time they were in the forest. And he didn't sleep the whole time. Because every night, he had to be awake to guard Ram. You know, Ram was resting. So he stayed awake all night. And also you have Bharat, in order to maintain his fidelity to the to Ram, he actually didn't even sleep in a bed, didn't even sleep on the ground. He slept under the ground. It was amazing. I mean, amazing attitude of servitude. Because Ram, being in the forest, slept on the ground. So he didn't want to, Bharat didn't want to sleep in a higher position or even equal position to Ram. And he just worshipped Ram's shoes, Padaka, the whole time that Ram was in the forest. I mean, this is amazing. Of course, one thing we can understand from this is that the Lord is showing us by his example, you know, as Krishna says in the Gita, yad yad yacharati shrestas tatade vetaro janaha. He's showing us by his example what it means to serve, to have a service attitude. Because, beginning with Balaram, and especially talking about Balaram, Balaram is the original spiritual master. Naimatma balahinena labwa. The statement is that without the mercy of Balaram, no one makes any spiritual advancement. So being the original spiritual master, he is showing us how to serve his original spiritual, who is Krishna. And in such a menial fashion. And of course, Balaram, just going back to Balaram, we're not talking about Ram and Lakshman right now, but Balaram serves Krishna by being his Brahman thread, by being his singhasana, by being the temple, by being the sitting place. You know, we have this Anantashesh. Anantashesh is the sitting place for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And not only does he sit, or does he act as the sitting place, he doesn't sit, act as the sitting place, he is always glorifying the Lord as he's sitting. I mean, all of Anantashesh's mouths, of course that means they have heads to go along with the mouth, the mouths are continually glorifying the Lord, you know, 24 hours a day. And he doesn't come to an end of the glorification because the glorification of the glories of the Lord expand unlimitedly at every unlimited moment. It's amazing. So he's setting an example for us of what it means to be a servant. You know, what it means to be a devotee of the Supreme Person. And even the Lord shows us what it means to be a devotee. And I find that quite remarkable, because many of us, we want to just like jump up to a higher platform of devotional service, and we don't understand the quality of servitude. As Srila Prabhupada, the Acharyas had mentioned, that talking about the rasas, the relationships, rasa doesn't specifically mean relationship, it means taste of relationship, but talking about the relationships that one has with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, beginning with, of course, the Shantaras, and of course, ultimately, there has to be some Dasharas in order to be spiritual. But beginning with this Dasharas, every other ras, I'm not pronouncing it properly, every other ras has the quality of the dasharas in it, just like you have the different material elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So as you go from the subtler to the grosser elements, I was listening to the class where Prabhupada was talking about this, then the qualities of the subtler elements, just like the quality of ether is sound, right? Krishna says, I'm the sound of ether. So, and you go to the grosser elements, you know, earth, of course, is being the grossest element. Then you still have sound there, but sound is, Prabhupada was saying that the sound is more prominent. I mean, just like you have, I'll give you an example of what Prabhupada means. That, let's say, I'm talking to you right now. Now, of course I am talking, speaking, hopefully, and you're hearing through the ether, which is the air, too. So let's say, if I was just transmitting sound just through ether, you'd have a hard time hearing it. Ether just means distance. I remember studying in the university where they tried to prove there was no ether. There was actually so many atheistic scientists, even when I was going to the university, they had this whole experiment of two laser beams going in different directions showing that there was no, you know, trying to show there was no ether. But ether just basically means space. So we're able to transmit sound through space through different means. For example, there's satellites up in the air and through the electronic means they're transmitting sound or information. Let's say information. It's actually a better word than sound in this particular context. So sound can be transmitted through ether, which just means space, even if you just have outer space. You know, if, of course, there is no such thing as void space. Like Krishna says, there are sarvagatata, living entities everywhere, but they're a more subtle form. So, but sound is transmitted better if you have air. And then if you've ever been in water, I don't know if any of you have been in water before, but I used to scuba dive. And you know, you can hear sound a long distance away. Just like people with the submarines, they use this thing called sonar to detect something even like several different, thousands of meters away. Sorry, we're in America. So thousands of different feet away, thousands of different yards away. They can just have a ping, and they can hear sound. So sound is trying. It's interesting. Prabhupada's talking about this, and then finally, when you get to grosser matter, you know, you can put your ear to something and hear the sound transmitted. So in other words, the sound quality. The point I'm getting to, which is what Prabhupada made in the lecture I was just listening to the other day, is the sound quality actually becomes transmitted even better when you get to the grosser elements. Now, the reason I'm mentioning that, it's not that I'm just giving some scientific explanation here, is that the quality of servitude becomes manifest better to a higher degree when you get to what's called the higher rasas, which is interesting. very interesting how it gets transmitted, anyway, transmitted, expressed, felt, whatever, to a higher degree. And what do I mean by that? I mean, if you read the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which deals with the Shikshastra, you find the servitude of Srimati Radharani being described. And in this particular instance, Srimati Radharani is stating that, you know, even if Krishna desires to associate with some other lady, then I will serve that other lady, you know, so Krishna can associate with her. I mean, or you have the example of Narada Muni and the headache of Krishna. You know, Krishna had a headache. The only thing that would cure the headache is the dust of the feet of one of his devotees or several of his devotees. And Narada Muni went around to all the devotees, and none of the devotees said yes. They all said, except for the gopis, of course, they all said, no, we don't want to give Krishna the dust of our feet. We will go to hell. But the gopis were willing to go to hell. So that's servitude. Think about it. That's servitude. It's not like, oh, we want to kiss Krishna. Do you understand the difference? It's not that, oh, we want a Krishna kiss, we want to dance. We want to cure his headache so we can dance with him. We want to cure his headache so his headache is cured. That's pure servitude on the conjugal platform. So in other words, the servitude becomes more prominent, more deep, more surrendered when you get to the higher rasas. So this quality of servitude is something that is essential in serving the Lord. And we had this whole discussion when I was in Govardhan about those people who go to Radhakund and they just stay in Radhakund. And are they actually in Radhakund? I'm not saying everybody. This is not a criticism of Vaishnavas. But how do you get to Radhakund? And who is in Radhakund? You know, so just like Srila Prabhupada stated, that we are where our mind is at. It's not that we are where our physical body is. An example I give many times is many people are in Bhagavatam class, their bodies are in Bhagavatam class, but they are not in Bhagavatam class. Because they are somewhere else, dreaming of whatever they're dreaming of, or not dreaming if they're engaged in dreamless sleep during Bhagavatam. You know, there's dream sleep and dreamless sleep. So someone can be in Radhakund, his physical body in Radhakund, and not be Radhakund, because he doesn't have that mood, he or she, doesn't have that mood of servitude to the Supreme Lord and, you know, ultimately the spiritual master, not ultimately the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master. Someone can just be in the holiest of the holy places, but not there. And someone could physically be somewhere else, in Hillsborough, for example. Or even in hell. Nagdarayana Parakshave Nakutashi Bibiti Swarga Babarga Narakeshu Apitali Artha Darshana. So one could be anywhere, but if he has this mood of the gopis, of serving Krishna, giving. See, that's the real mood of the gopis. Servitude. I mean, you know, obviously it's conjugal love. You know, I understand. They have conjugal love too. But it's not that they want to enjoy Krishna. They want to be enjoyed by Krishna. That's servitude. So the higher rasas are all higher expressions of servitude. There's like a parental affection. Mother Yashoda is just thinking, you know, I just want Krishna to be happy, or Krishna to be well, you know, or Krishna to be trained up nicely, you know, have good education or whatever. Even though Krishna has the best education, you know. All the Vedas come from him, obviously. Ahameva Veda. So anyway, so this is their higher expressions of servitude. So if one has the highest expression of servitude, Krishna, I'm willing to go to hell. And you see that with Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada left Vrindavan to come to the Western world to serve. And I would say that Prabhupada was never outside of Radhakund, because he had the mood of the gopis. I probably actually said the preaching of Krishna consciousness and the Sankirtan, specifically, he was, in one sense, he was talking about book distribution, the letter to Ramaswar, is in the mood of the gopis. And if one has the mood of the gopis, then one is always in Vrindavan, always in Radhakund, always in Mayapur, always, you know, in the spiritual world. So that's really the point. So, getting back to this verse. So you have Balaram showing us that mood. Now, I'm not saying that Balaram's in the mood of the gopis. Balaram has a different mood of servitude. But he's showing us that mood in this particular context. And all of his expansions, he is showing us the same mood of servitude. And Balaram is the original spiritual master. Anyway, there's many other points I can make about Balaram here. Oops. So I think I'll take questions. So any questions or comments? Yes.
First, I just wanted to mention that about Balaram also. I was told by the song that he appears in the form of his pots in the kitchen.
Pots, yeah.
So he told us,
clean the pots.
He once came and washed pots for me in the kitchen like you did. And he saw the pots on the floor and said, I'm not going to wash any of these until they're off the floor. Lord Balaram should not be on the floor. But besides that, in the realm of cooking, I'm just amazed, and I don't quite understand why Lakshman was fasting, because if he was showing the example, if we were fasting, it's hard to sometimes do service.
Yeah, but if you have a spiritual body, it's not hard to do.
But for 1 year, that's a long time.
Not when you're 14 years. 14 years.
You got a blessing also from spiritual master.
Yeah, I got a blessing from a spiritual master. But the point is, his service wasn't diminished because he is non-different from Krishna. You know, he doesn't have to eat to have energy, but we do. Yeah, so in our case, we do have the right to go to the spiritual master and say, Gurudev, I'm so weak, I can't chant now. Can I eat something? So in our case, we do have that right. But for as far as Lakshman, he didn't have that problem. And you see the Goswamis, even they were able to eat one pat of butter or something like that every day or two and survive, like Raghunath Das Goswami, just some rejected grains, things like that, you know, washing some rice that was rejected. But we can't imitate that. This is the special prerogative of the pure devotees and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Balaram is the pots. That's very interesting. But, you know, so, but also, I hate to tell you this, Balaram is the whole temple, including the floor, so you're sitting on Balaram right now. So I wouldn't say specifically it's an offense to put the pots on the floor. Because the whole temple's a manifestation of Balaram. So you better be careful. You're putting your feet on Balaram right now. So, I mean, you know, technically, yes, the whole temple, the Singhasana, the Brahman thread, everything, the spiritual world is maintained by Balaram. Sandini Shakti, you know, the existential potency is maintained by Balaram. So these are all aspects of the philosophy. So I wouldn't get too worried about the pots, because Prabhupada watched many times when the devotees were serving, they were moving the pots around to serve people. So I don't think Prabhupada got real upset about that particular thing. Okay, on that happy note, all glories to Sri Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.